as disciples, as people who are learning to live like Jesus and learning to do the things that Jesus did, growing in both our character and also our competence in the things that we can do to serve him. We're just using the book of Acts as a model for us and drawing out some principles, some stories of how the first disciples changed the world in 30 years. And to draw encouragement from that and say that is an example to us of how men and women who are so caught up in their relationship with God and their desire to follow him are able to change situations around them and to see people become Christians. The growth of the church was phenomenal. And so we've been exploring this question, how did they do it? How was Jesus able to equip this group of uneducated men and women to do the things he did and to be like him in such a way? And we've been looking at that over the last few weeks. And like I say, if you've missed any of the sermons now, they're all available for you to download off the website so you can catch up and listen, as well as the PowerPoints are there as well, so you can follow it through. And we've been thinking about the way that covenant and kingdom underpins what we are and who we are. So this morning I want to just look at this a little bit, the community and the mission that went on in the book of Acts. How did they experience community? How did they do mission? I was reading this week in preparing some statistics about community life in the UK. And you might not be surprised to hear this, but this was some statistics, some reports, analysis that was done from between 1971 through to 2001. There were some statistics that were done on looking at community life. And it was commissioned by the BBC. So you can go to their website, you can have a look at this if you want to. And they were analysing some of the census data that was done in 1971, 1981, 1991, and 2001, and just looking at community life. And the thing that they came out with, one of the key findings, is that 97% of the communities in the United Kingdom are more socially fragmented in those three decades. 97% of all our communities in the UK are socially fragmented, more socially fragmented over that 30-year period. And even some of the weakest communities in terms of social fragmentation and the way that community life took place, the strong sense of community, even the weakest communities in 1971 were stronger than any of the communities in 2001. So the overall sense that people had out of that 30 years of feelings of not belonging. They didn't feel they belonged. And there's lots of reasons for that, and we can look at those at other times. We can think about why that is. But I think most of us, anecdotally, will also agree with that. That if, as we look at the last 30 years and now 40 years since 1971, community life isn't what it used to be. If you sit down with anybody over the age of, I don't know, say 55, and talk to them about what community life was like, and I think about my community life when I was growing up in the 70s as a child in primary school, and how I knew everybody on my street. We never locked the back door where we lived. Everybody was in and out of everybody's home. It just isn't like that anymore. And why am I telling you this? Well, I think I'm telling you this because for us as a church and for the church in the UK, if we build community, if we build a sense of community, a sense where people can belong, then I think lots of people are looking for that. I think people are struggling to really experience what it means to be in community. And I think if you look at some of the things that the government tried to do to legislate, it's because community life has broken down. So lots of third sector groups, lots of voluntary groups will do things. So I was reading recently about a project that's just taken place in Cheshire. It took place in the winter, and it was a project where they had to set up a system so that people would pop in on older people who lived in their street. And it had to be organized centrally. It had to be, you had to volunteer, you had to be, you had to get your DBS for safeguarding with vulnerable adults. You had to go through the whole rigmaroles of all that, which I understand why, but I thought to myself, why do we have to organize that? I don't think we had to organize that in the 60s and 70s. I'm not saying it was perfect then, but there was something about community life that was different. And I think as we have an opportunity when we talk about community to really build something that people can belong to, particularly in the process of them becoming Christians. I think one of the things that we want to develop as a church is that this place, both corporately like this, also in smaller groups, people can belong before they believe. Sometimes Christianity has said that you need to believe before you can belong. And we could be quite clear in the wrong sense of drawing lines and saying, well, if you don't, you only can believe this and this, and then you're in. I think we need to turn that on its head and say that people can come in and belong before they believe. And actually, before they change their behavior, they need to really belong and believe. And there's a process that people have to go through. And it's to do with building community. So if you go back to the book of Acts, and we've already looked at these verses a few times, Acts chapter 4 particularly, you see the picture there of this community life. So Acts chapter 4, we read, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. They met together, they shared everything they had, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They met in homes, they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And that's like a snapshot of what the community life was like, particularly in the Jerusalem church in those first few chapters of Acts. But I would argue that as you go through the book of Acts, this became the benchmark. This is how they did Christianity. It was done in community. It was never done alone. And we need to recapture that sense that Christianity is best formed in community. It's best formed in relationship. It's not an individualistic thing. Even though we might individually have to make a response to Christ, we don't live our lives out individualistically. We need to do it in community. We need to be building community around us. And some of the principles of that when we're seeking to build community are these, that hopefully you've picked this up already as we've been talking, but for me there's three things that we need to put into our communities. The first thing is we need to put in food. And we need to make sure that when we meet together on a regular basis, that we put food into the context of what we're doing. There's something very spiritual about eating food together. Secondly, we need to have fun. The mark of these Christians was that there was great joy around them. And we need to be people of joy. We need to have fun together. We need to build that into our times where it's great to be together. There's something fun about being together. And in that, we build friendship. And I would hope that when we get together in our life groups, when we get together in other groups that we're trying to develop as a church and build together, those three things will be right at the heart of who we are. Fun, food, and friendship. It seems quite simple, doesn't it? But yeah, it is quite hard. I think sometimes we've taken those things out and made our times together more focused on the things that we do. And I'm not saying these things are wrong, because we need to have shared Bible study, we need to have shared prayer, we need to have shared resources. But that's not the primary reason for meeting together. Those things flow out of being together, looking at the Bible, praying together, sharing together, having a shared vision in terms of what are we doing? What is God asking us to do as a group of people? And I really encourage us to think about how we build that into our lives, whether that's in the organized stuff that we do as a church, the organized events and the organized gathering points, or whether that's just in the organic stuff of everyday life. Just getting people around and just having some fun together, having some food together. Inviting people into that. I think sometimes we don't realize how far people are away from that experience of community. That actually just to be invited in to somebody's home is so alien to lots of people. They don't tend to do that very often, unless they do it in a very formal way, you know, around a dinner party, or they do it around, you know, a very formal invitation, not just getting together. But I really believe that these simple steps will encourage us to draw people in to our community. I want to show you a little video at this point just about how important it is to be in community.
It's smarter to travel in groups. Take the bus. It's smarter to travel in groups. Take the bus.
I think it's a Dutch company who put that together. It's one of their adverts. But it's smarter to travel in groups. And that was a principle of how the book of Acts unfolded. That actually, as you go into the book of Acts and you see how the disciples took the message, particularly when we get into the latter part of Paul and his missionary journeys, we seem to have this idea that it was about Paul. But it wasn't. It was about groups who traveled together. Paul was always with companions. He never did it on his own. In fact, Jesus set that up, didn't he? Jesus never sent his disciples to do anything on their own, not even to get a donkey. He sent two of them to do it. He always did it in groups. They always did it in groups. And we need to be people who have groups around us, groups of people who will walk with us, share life with us, will look out for us. Because as we see there, when you're on your own, that's when you can get picked off. That's when things can take you out of the situation, that you need that support. Can you just go back to the PowerPoint? Is that right? Thanks. Don't know whether you can read that, but... It says, I really wish we weren't such a close-knit family. So you might need to go a bit closer. It's a group of dogs, just in case you're wondering what it is. But we do need to develop this sense of living life on life together, sharing our lives. But not just putting our lives over here and saying, this is where I'm living my life, and then over here, this is where I'm going to do my mission. It's like we need to put it together and say, this is my life on mission. This is me with a group of people seeking to live my life like the first disciples, like the guys in the book of Acts, and to look to find opportunities to develop that community. It's really important we put those together and encourage ourselves in whatever context we might find ourselves to put community at the heart of who we are and to put mission at the heart of who we are. Not to separate them out and say, well, we'll do a bit of community over here and we'll do a bit of mission over here. It's like, let's do community and mission together. Let's develop that type of mindset as a church over the coming weeks and months. Okay, I'm going to finish there. I told you it was short and sweet. So I'm going to hand over to Sue and Andrew, and I think Ruth as well are going to continue leading in here. And those of you who want to come out for the next hour, then we're going to do that now.